Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com. Summer is coming and that means vacation, but if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow and that means nothing from last summer will fit and we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming and trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in store.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Guys, our nanny quit.
Yeah, she gone.
Oh, way to wind down. What are we going to do? Monday. Well, this is really funny and this isn't a spot. I don't even know if this is a spot, but so I've been using care.com. So on the way here, We're trying to find a nanny here, which we ended up finding one here for the short term time that we're in Los Angeles. But we're also looking for a nanny in Nashville. And I just don't understand some of these girls that post pictures on care.com. Because I'm like, don't you know the females hiring? It's like, I'm laughing in the car. And he's like, why are you laughing? I said, because I don't understand some of these girls' profile pictures. Because the wives are hiring. Like, I don't see a guy going on care.com and going through the nannies. I mean, maybe they do, and that's awesome. But, you know, I personally am doing it, and I'm laughing because this one photo is like, hi, I'm 22 years old, and I have perky boobs. Like, don't post the perky boob photo. Like, you're not going to be hired. I'm not hiring you. So I just said, no thanks.
I mean.
And I'm not saying post an ugly photo. I'm just saying, don't post if you're younger than like 20. I don't know.
Dress for the part.
You should dress for the part. So to the girls out there that are on care.com, I wouldn't put your Instagram.
Right. The same profile picture as your Instagram as your care.com picture.
Yeah. Because I'm like, no, I'm not going to hire you. Sorry. Not that I don't trust my husband. Not that I don't trust, you know, whatever. I'll say this. I just think it's not smart. You look at some of these nannies and I'm like, well, you kind of asked for it. She's kind of hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're in close quarters.
Right.
Not saying that Ben Affleck was wrong, but you look at the nanny and I'm like, well, she's really cute.
You're just playing with fire.
You're playing with fire.
It's like bringing raw meat into a tiger cage, isn't
exactly.
it? Like, why do it? Why bother? There's plenty. And there's another one too. Gavin Rossdale.
Jude Law. Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah.
Look at those nannies. They were cute.
Yes.
And then more spent time together, they're even cuter. And their wives, they're mad at their wives, but they're not mad at the nanny. So they're going to be nice, you know, and they're going to like the nanny.
I think the same thing goes for like assistants or.
Oh, 100%.
An old friend of ours in Nashville, like his assistant.
Oh, yeah.
Was a beautiful young woman and he had a beautiful wife and like three kids. And
yeah.
And even with the first time we met her,
Oh, I was like,
everyone, we're with Jana and like, her band, and we're all just kind of like, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
And if you're on a diet, don't bring a chocolate cake into the house, right?
Exactly. I mean, isn't that? And here's the deal. I want to say this because I know Brittany, or one of our former nannies, listens to the show. It's not that Brittany wasn't cute, because I think Brittany, you're so cute. But there's a different thing that women, girls put off. Like, I mean, Brittany was like, how would you describe Brittany? I mean, she's so cute, but she doesn't put off the...
No, Britt. I mean, she's one of us that, like, she was part of the family, like... She's one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like her hanging, she's like one of the guys.
Totally. But not in a way where I feel like some of these girls, maybe some of those nannies, like the Ben Afflecks and the Gavin Rosdells nannies, they put off more of a sexier vibe. And I just think that, like Mark said, it's putting meat into the cage. And what? Meat into the cage?
I put raw meat into the tiger cage.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that works, but it just seems like, why bother?
Yeah.
Why even put that temptation out there?
Right.
Let's just focus on each other.
An Alice from Brady Bunch vibe, right?
Yeah. So, I'm going for the more, 100% yes. Alice. Yeah, 100%. I love that you had to reference a photo. Like, I did watch the Brady Bunch.
Hey, sometimes it works to have it right in front of you.
You're very young, and we assume that you don't get those references.
Would you ever
hire a Manny?
Well, I asked you about that one guy. I said, what about this guy, Timothy?
He also looked like he he had some issues, but...
Well, I would hire a guy. I'd rather hire a gay man a straight man.
Oh, for sure.
Not saying that I would be tempted, but...
No, that wouldn't even be my reason for not hiring a guy. It wouldn't be that. It's just... I think there's still something, there's just some jobs in this world that are just women are better suited
Watch
for.
Watch yourself. How you
I'm not saying it's from a biological standpoint of women are naturally more nurturing.
Agreed. Yeah.
So it's just a softer approach, it's just your human nature. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's a safer bet and I feel like when it comes to that stuff, women are able to, you're able to kind of feel their energy.
Right.
Easier than you are men.
It's funny though. I was starting to read reviews though about some of the girls because I've narrowed it down to a couple girls in Nashville and they're all, one's a little young. I really want to go older. I like the 50 year, between 40 and 50. I like that range because they don't care about Instagram. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Like this is their job. Mm-hmm. They're not looking to just.
They don't have a lot of social plans.
Yeah.
And also they've probably raised their own kids.
100%.
Yes.
And have a lot of experience. Yeah.
Exactly. So I mean, I lean towards that, but then I also like, again, I like the way Brittany was like, let's go to the zoo and let's do this. And I'm like, you have so much more energy than me, which I like in a younger person because I see that a lot of younger people do that. But here's the interesting thing.
Younger people, you can kind of workhorse. You can kind of work them a little bit more. You know what I mean? They're not jaded. Like, you got to work them. They got to earn their stripes.
Yeah. But so I was reading some of the reviews on some of the girls and this one girl, which I liked and then ended up saying no to. One of the reviews said that she was playing the parents against each other and ended up, listen to this, like no joke, on care. She was playing them against each other and now they, so much so that they're divorced and her whole intent was to get into the father's life. Like she was so manipulative that she made the guy think that his wife is crazy and then they ended up like hooking up. This is a review.
A review?
A review.
Who wrote the review?
The wife.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was reading this like, this is some juicy stuff on care.com. I
mean, 2 stars because she did great laundry. So.
Yeah, no, she actually only had one because I was like, why did she have 1 star? This isn't good. And then I said, nope, no thanks. Don't need you in the house.
I will say about around that though, I think for that to happen, mm-hmm. the husband and wife clearly didn't have very good communication.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if someone, like we hired somebody and they try to do that with us, we'd come to each other and be like, hey, so-and-so was saying, you said this, or you're doing this way. And you'd be like, what? No, I don't. We know how we're doing. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, okay. Like we would smell blood in the water like pretty quick. Be like, all right, this isn't.
I would hope so.
We would. Because we talk about.
I'm just having a lot of anxiety though, because we have a lot of trips coming up. We're going to Scotland. We have our podcast tour, which by the way, is in May. So you guys get your tickets, Boston, Virginia, New York. But I'm scared because we have this new nanny coming in and I've just heard all the horror stories and she seems great. I really like her energy. She has 2 boys. She's from Greece. she's, you know, she's in her 50s, I think. Mm-hmm. But I'm still so scared. I see those things on the news and I'm just scared. Like, what if she's crazy? What if she just hurts our children? I'm genuinely having anxiety about that.
Will you have a nanny cam of some sort?
Yep. We're getting...
So we bought five cameras.
Wow.
There's this new system called Blink. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
It works with Alexa, but there's these little small cameras. So we're going to put them in the kids' rooms, which we already have cameras anyways, but I just want them more around the house. But even so, if something were to happen, we're not there.
Are they hidden cameras?
No, they're not hidden. She'll know she's on camera.
We're going to have it so... Because before we just had one in Jolie and Jace's room, but now we're going to have one in the living room. So you can see the kitchen, you can see the living room. We're going to have one, another one in Jace's room.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see it all on the same device.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to have it all over.
Well, like what if something were to happen and we're not there? We're in freaking Boston doing mm-hmm. wind down or mm-hmm. we're in Scotland. How do you, you just call the police?
I think... because this is going to be a new nanny, I think it'd be smart to maybe have Julie or somebody just stop by every now and then.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, you know, our new nanny's name. Be like, hey, you know, Julie's going to stop by. Just, you know, a familiar face, see how the kids are doing, check in on things.
It's just weird because when Jolie was little, I traveled with her everywhere. I mean, she went everywhere. Since she was 6 weeks old, she was on a bus with me.
Mm-hmm.
We flew, went everywhere together. So mm-hmm. I feel like this is kind of the first time we're having to have this situation when we're not actually with the kids.
And why not? Because you're working so much when you're on
these
trips?
Well, we can't bring him to Scotland. So, because it's, with a baby and Jolie, the flights were already so expensive.
It's just because we have two kids now. It's just harder.
It was easier.
It was easy. And we didn't have to buy her a seat yet.
And if we were, because we're technically still in LA, so the podcast tour is in May. So again, it'd be flying a lot of flights, and that's just a lot for two kids. So, and then on top of that, having to have someone to help us watch the kids when we're winding down on stage. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's all champagne problems, but I think just I'm very interested to hear some nanny stories. So email in JanaCramer@iHeartMedia.com.
Oh, careful,
do you really want to hear that?
I do, because I want to know what I have to be fearful of. And then maybe moms too that...
This is only going to fuel your imagination.
My imagination is so effed anyways.
True.
I mean, the things I think about movie-wise in my head, it's just stupid. So
this is an issue today.
It's
the internet, I think, but between local news and the internet and the movies we watch, every possible bad thing. Every time one of my daughters is like, I remember this time she went around the block to walk her friend home. I could almost see her the whole time, but I had to follow. She didn't want me to. She said, no, I'm just going to take her. So I would hide behind trees following her because as soon as she's out of my sight, I think of J.C. Dugard. Remember J.C. Dugard?
That? Maybe I'm too young.
She was walking to school when she was 10 years
yes.
old and lived in a shed for the next 20 years
yes.
having
oh
the
God.
Baby of her captor.
That was the room.
Right.
The room was based on, I think, based on that idea,
it was the same.
I was working at a news station when that went down, so I had to write a whole bunch of stories on it. I know way too much about that story, mm-hmm. and it haunts me.
Yeah.
But the question I always ask is, 50 years ago to 30 years ago, was the world just as dangerous as it is now, but we didn't have the internet to know about it? Or has the world actually gotten more dangerous since then?
Do we know the answer?
I don't think we know the answer.
I think, what a great question. I think the world's gotten more dangerous because of the exposure to everything.
Are we fueling it, though, is my question, too. You know, are we fueling that badness in this world?
I mean, instant gratification doesn't help.
Yeah.
When people want things, you know what I mean? There's no, I feel like.
To feed the, almost like the, what's the adrenaline rush to be evil?
I guess.
People have that. Ugh.
And it doesn't help too that we live in LA County and every night on the news, it's like watching a movie.
It is.
Like it is, it's ridiculous. Like we've had to turn the news off because we're like, we don't even want Jolie seeing another mm-hmm. police chase, another ridiculous car accident, another shooting, another death. I mean, it's. It's literally like watching a movie every night on the news.
Yeah. It is scary though. And to your point, Mark, what you said, our entire backyard is fenced in. I mean, tall, tall, tall fences. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I'm in the kitchen, because the kids will go out and play, like when she has Camden over, they'll go out and play in the backyard. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I have to be up at 24/7 because what if someone hops over the fence, even though it's a very hard fence to hop over? Because mm-hmm. how tall is the fence?
It's tall. It's like 10 feet.
Eight feet. But still, I'm like, we're in LA. Like, someone could easily hop over the fence, somehow get the kids, and then, you know, she's JC.
We had the same rules. We had the same, you cannot play in the front yard, period.
Okay.
You can only play in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And we'd be out there if they were playing in the backyard. We would just sit and watch them because we were that paranoid. But that's the helicopter parenting and the lawnmower parenting that they call it. That is affecting this next generation. And it's because mostly of our paranoia. Because when we were kids, we got to play outside, front yard, backyard, neighbor's house. We'd ride up and down the streets.
Just be home when it's dark.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were fine. And I maintain, I can't believe that there are more kidnapping child molesters in 2019 than there were in 1989, 79, 69. I can't believe that that's changed that much, unless it's all copycats and people getting ideas from the internet. But I think it's got to be the same.
I mean, it'd be interesting to talk to a law enforcement on that, just to ask their question, because, unless that wasn't booked then. So maybe things people...
I think too, just a general psychologist on the mindset of, you know, the evolution of humans over the last 50 years, like you said. And I mean, shoot, I remember, like, you know, my dad would tell me, you know, he went to James Madison like I did. He would hitchhike if he wanted to go home for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Literally just hitchhike. It's like, that's unheard of today. That won't happen, you know, because you can't trust anybody.
Nobody. Like,
nobody. But back then, you could just be
like,
are
you going to be more trusting? And so when we move back to Nashville, which, by the way, our house is delayed. That was a fun email to get from the builder. So we're going to be living out of an RV in the summer, that's literally. Right. Like, you're laughing, but well, this isn't even a joke.
We're about
like,
to Griswold
we
it
are
up.
100% Griswolding it. You know, well, there's zero joke to that. Like, no. I mean, we have an Airbnb. We have our final move date out of LA. We have our and we were supposed to move straight from here into our house. But instead, we are going to an Airbnb for a month, and then we're getting an RV, and we're going up to Michigan for 4th of July. And then after that, we're going to RV until our house is ready, because it is just, it's too expensive.
Come home, baby.
So I don't know where we're going to be, but just wave to us on the road.
Part of me wishes your kids were older, because what a memorable summer that would be.
It would be super cool if the kids were a little older. It would be really cool.
But I just can't believe it. I'm like, wow.
Us, two dogs and two kids, and see where we end up. Who knows?
Oh my God, I'm so stressed.
But what were we going to say? Do I feel more comfortable in Nashville with that?
So in Nashville, I mean, we're going to have a fenced backyard, but are you going to be more comfortable because we're in Nashville?
Yeah.
But there's still crazies everywhere.
For sure, but it's a numbers game. I mean, we don't have... Yeah, it's a numbers game. Think how populated LA County is.
True.
And all the mess that's going around here and homeless people that are walking in front of our house.
Yeah, that's
like,
so weird.
On our block. Mm. That happens because we're in LA, no matter where you live.
Yeah.
So in Nashville, we're not going to have homeless people in our suburban neighborhood 30 minutes outside of downtown Nashville.
Fewer people, less crime.
Right.
And I'm sure you did the homework on your neighborhood. I'm sure it's a nice crime, low crime neighborhood.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But like you said, anything can happen. So I still, to Mark's point, I mean, I see why helicopter parenting is a thing, because you want to protect your kids.
I think parents back then were just ignorant of the world. They didn't have the 24/7 news cycle that they have now. And people had to find out the hard way the evil that's out there.
Right.
Well, to brighten things up a little bit, we have some really cool guests. And actually, I just got up to date about the whole Fire Festival. Did you, Mark Easton, have you guys watched Fire Festival?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I just watched this morning. So we have Seth, was it Crosno? He was an attendee. And then his lawyer, Stacey Miller, they're going to be in studio. So I have so many questions about it.
Did you watch the Netflix or the Hulu?
Netflix. Well,
which one was it? The Netflix.
Yeah, I watched that one too. I love it.
Which one was the difference of the Hulu?
I didn't see the Hulu one.
I didn't either, but they're similar. I mean, they're similar ideas, some of the same people, but I mean, I don't know.
I just watched the Hulu one.
Oh,
really?
The Hulu had an interview with Billy McFarlane.
Interesting.
Yes, but then Netflix didn't because
after prison or his sentence.
Before. Okay. So he was like about to go in. He wanted a bunch of money for the interview.
Of course he did.
Right.
Of course, yeah. So Netflix was like, we don't want to pay that.
Right.
And Hulu was like, ooh, let's have it. I thought it was fascinating.
He's not in jail, right?
He's in jail right now, isn't he? Or is he?
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's currently incarcerated.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he like got on bail or anything like that. But then, okay, so we have the Fire Festival attendee and lawyer, and then the Roloffs are in studio, who I love them. So they're so sweet. So it's going to be a fun show.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly, vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy. Like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
Okay, so catching up real fast, his name's Bill, right?
Billy McFarland.
He is in prison?
Yes, he's currently incarcerated in Orange County, New York.
Whatever happened with Felicity and Becky?
And Becky, it's changing by the day.
Okay.
So as of today, which is around noon on Tuesday the 9th, yesterday, Felicity Huffman pled guilty. The reason she did that was to minimize her sentence, but the prosecutors are only accepting pleas that include prison time.
What?
So the minimum would be 4 months. Her lawyers are going to fight for zero, of course,
right.
But it looks like 4 months. Now, Lori Loughlin's in a whole different situation.
Because hers was twice.
Hers was 500 grand as opposed to 15 grand, and I guess that's the major difference between the two.
Yeah.
So she's looking at 2 years if she pleas.
Wow.
Or pleads out, accepts a plea bargain. She's looking at 2 years minimum. If she does it and fights it, it could be a lot more than that. And then today she was charged with additional counts, which to me makes me wonder, did she not accept the plea? Because the danger was if you don't accept the plea, there's more charges coming.
Ooh.
So I wonder if she didn't accept the plea because now she's charged with conspiracy to commit money laundering.
What?
On top of everything else.
And that's the thing. If you don't accept the plea, it's not like you can try to fight it and realize you're not going to win. These more charges added on. Like, oh, let me go back to that original. No.
Can I have the original? So they don't do that?
No, that deal came and went, sweetheart. You got to do more now.
This one carries a maximum sentence, a maximum of 20 years in prison.
What?
That's
Do you really think they should be going to jail for this? Like, you're in your honest, like, gut and heart of hearts, like, do you think that they should be going to jail for this? Or should they just pay a
It's a tough one because if other people go to jail for this, they should go to jail for this. It shouldn't okay. be some sort of celebrity or rich people yes. or whatever like that. They shouldn't be able to pay their way out of jail. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when you think of the crimes that really are committed that require incarceration, mm-hmm. this seems low on that totem pole. I understand that they kept other kids out of college, but they didn't kill anybody. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't, you know? Right. So that's an interesting thing.
I mean, there are a lot of people that are getting released from jail because of overcrowding.
Yeah.
So people that have committed serious crimes. Like serious, serious.
Is it bad that I have, I don't know if this is even an old fashioned mindset, but this is just, there might be backlash on this, but my opinion with the whole prison system, depending on your crime, if it has anything to do with children, molestation, abuse.
You're dead.
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping, murder, anything like that with children, you're gone. Take you out back.
Like
death penalty.
Death penalty.
Yeah, but not even death. Like
shoot him.
Not even death penalty, because that could be 20 years you're on death row or something.
True.
Like
instant capital punishment.
Take him out back.
But what if? What if people look? I think that's heinous. Anything with kids and any of that stuff. I think it's so heinous. But what if someone does? Can someone change from that? Like, I mean, trust me. If it's my kid, I would want. I'll take him out back. I'll kill him. Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting thing about the death penalty is people who like I consider myself anti-death penalty because there's so many wrongful convictions as the long process of the
right,
judiciary.
Right.
But if it was my kid, yes, I'm in favor of capital punishment. So right. It's a tough, you're kind of torn on that. But if it's cut and dried, I have no issue with that.
Yeah. I mean, if it's clear as day and there's no question behind it.
I mean, what if they're young and under a lot of drugs and
I mean, obviously there's still variables in each equation. I don't know what those are. I didn't think them all out, but all I'm saying is I feel like there should be some crimes in this country that, yeah, like you said, depending on those variables, age, situation, under the influence or not under the influence, history of crime, whatever it may be. Some things I just think people don't deserve another chance.
Well, let me ask you this, devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Couldn't you argue that every crime of that magnitude, murder, child molestation, that sort of thing, there is a story. There's always, whether it's abuse as a child,
course,
psychological
yeah.
problems, right. mental problems. You could argue that anyone who commits a crime like that, there's always a story mm-hmm. that could sway the opinion of
maybe
somebody.
Maybe they didn't have the help of therapy to help
right,
them.
Because
and
they were poor.
Because of their, yeah, I mean, freaking right, look you, at, what's his face? That he was the... the kid in jail that, oh, come on, that documentary that was like, to make a murder.
Making a murderer?
Making a murderer. Yeah. The cousin or the brother or the, he wasn't mental. He didn't even know words
right,
properly.
He was on the spectrum. They're yeah. coercing him into, yeah.
So, I mean, he could have been so easy, like, okay, I'll kill somebody because I don't know, because you said so, I'll kill somebody. Like, he wasn't smart, you know?
Right.
Is there evil or is there always a reason
no,
for something
see, and
like
that,
this?
And that's, that to your point. I understand that. You could go back on everybody and there's some kind of story. But I truly feel that there are evil. To do some of these things, you are evil. Mm. Ted Bundy is an evil person. Stuff like that, you are an evil, evil, evil person.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's happened to you in your life, you are evil. So I just feel people that are, you know, in that category, it's just like, why waste our tax dollars and people's time to sit on death row for 20 years? However, you know, 20 plus years, whatever the average is. I don't even know what the average is. To sit there.
So do you think they should take Felicity and Aunt Becky out back?
Oh, that's how we got into this, isn't it?
That heinous crime they did.
I'm just curious. Like, what do you think that, like, they should serve?
I just think that's, you know, take it in perspective. Like you said, like, all right. Were there any tax fraud?
Potentially, yes, because they wrote it off as a charitable donation because
see,
the guy
that,
disguised it.
See, that kind of
then,
stuff.
Then, yeah,
that's
people go to jail for
like,
that. So then
right,
you should.
Tax fraud, if it right. comes down to that, it's like, hey, I mean, the law's the law.
Look, if they're yeah, putting away non-wealthy families for crimes like this,
right.
then you gotta.
Yes, 100%.
I agree with that. What I don't agree with is making they're a celebrity, so we have to prove a point.
Right.
I don't like that.
Make an example
Make
of them.
Make an example
right,
of them.
But I think...
If you do it with everyone else, then do it.
I think that's a great point, though. by you because that's probably why the prosecutors, their plea deals all include jail time.
Right.
Because they, it's like almost they have to. Like their hands
they'll
are tied.
They'll look terrible otherwise.
Because if they don't, yeah. If they don't.
And social media is covered with issues like, you know, a black mother in somewhere right. who voted and she was not eligible to vote and didn't realize she wasn't eligible to vote and now she's in jail.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Those comparisons are always going to come back
to haunt those prosecutors. And so many defense attorneys will reference that case,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Wait, I'm sorry, that's an actual case?
Yeah.
What?
I can bring up the details on it, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying they'll reference Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman's case when, you know, their clients go through any kind of tax fraud or money issues or whatever. Like, they'll start saying, in, you know, Loughlin and Huffman versus the state of, you know, California, this happened. And they didn't get any time. Why does my client?
Rosa Maria Ortega voted voter fraud because she voted illegally, says she had no idea because she doesn't speak English that well, and she's doing 8 years in prison.
8 years?
Yeah.
See, that right there is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
What?
That's such BS. Like, how can a judge...
And it was appealed, and it held up on appeal. And the attorney general says it's an open and shut case of voter fraud. She pretended to be a citizen. She voted, and now she's being punished.
Was she doing that to get, like, citizen? Like, to pretend that she... Was she actually a citizen?
That's the prosecutor saying she wasn't a citizen. She was pretending to be a citizen. Her team is saying that she had no idea that she couldn't vote.
Yeah, but
she lives here. She voted. Everyone
is
else
is
voting.
Is she a citizen in the U.S.,
though? She's not.
Right, and that's the thing. What's the benefit of voting?
What?
I'm saying from a standpoint, why would she purposely go vote? Like, is there anything to gain?
Paying her. Because
right, they're not paying her. It doesn't give you any.
But if she was trying to prove, because she's not technically a citizen of the U.S.
She's
so
a legal permanent
she's
resident.
She's illegal.
She's not a citizen. She's a legal resident.
Oh, she's a legal resident.
Yeah, she's not here illegally, which is another distinction that I'm not even that clear on. The difference between a citizen and a legal permanent resident.
Right. I think, but to Mark's point, she's probably just caught up in it. It's like, oh, yeah. People she knows, oh, this is what we do. And she's probably like, well, I'm legally allowed to live here. So yeah, I guess I'll go vote. All my friends.
Is there any benefits of voting in her situation?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What's the benefit?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Right. Does anyone know what the benefit could be?
She has nothing to gain. It's literally just, you know, your right as a citizen, which she thought she was, but she's not. And she just thought she could do it, but
Her master plan here?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm curious. Where's the why?
Her criminal mind.
I mean?
Yeah, her motive.
No, I think it was just a situational thing that, exactly like Mark said.
Leslie, let us know. Our girlfriend Leslie always sends us notes. She's like, well, on this, I think it should have been this. So we are so excited because in the studio, in the Wind Down studio, we have Seth Krosno and Stacey Miller.
All right. Woo-hoo-hoo. Thanks, guys.
I feel like you guys are turning... What is it? Lemons into lemonade, right?
That's what we're trying
to do. I mean, you guys, I see this. You guys have Seth Krosno and Stacey Miller's Dumpster Fire podcast is available now wherever you listen to podcasts. So you guys are turning kind of this massive disaster into a silver lining of a podcast.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, there's so many stories. You know, the documentaries did a great job, but...
And then there's a Netflix and a Hulu one, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's just so much more of the story, and there's so many more things going on today. So we just felt like it'd be fun to cover it and also maybe draw attention to the people that were victims in the Bahamas and continue to raise awareness about their GoFundMe and stuff like that.
So what's the goal behind the podcast? Not only, I know you talk about the Fire Festival, but what other things do you guys talk about?
So, you know, we're kind of in this unique position where I went down there as sort of a comedy writer to sort of poke fun at the whole influencer angle.
That's amazing. Let's just draw some love towards that. That's fantastic.
Because, like, I don't look like an influencer. So, like, what am I doing?
When I was watching it, I was like, I'm very curious. I'm like, what his intentions were there.
Yeah.
Although you've been pretty influential lately.
I'm trying to be. So, you know, we thought... to turn it into a podcast and maybe learn more about some of the things, like, where'd all the money go, you know, like, you know, what else is kind of behind the scenes that didn't get talked about on the documentaries or that people
aren't. How much did you actually pay?
Are
you allowed to say that?
Yeah, a little less than $5,000 for the whole thing.
Okay. Because I know there was a couple ones, there was that, like, $4,000 tier, and then there was a, $20,000?
Yeah.
There was like all these different.
Grand.
Yeah.
Did you get your money back? And do did the people get their money back that went to the festival?
I have a friend who got stuck in the Miami airport and never got her money back, so she didn't even like make it down to the island. So we ended up not getting anything from Fyre Festival or anything. So I don't think they, to my knowledge, made any refunds to anybody.
So the people that spent 20 plus, I mean, any money at all, didn't get any money back?
Not to my knowledge, no. No.
Stacey, how did you get like into this? And with, how did you guys meet?
Well, it's sort of a funny story. I've known Seth for quite some time. Our neighborhoods backed up together in Raleigh. And Seth's younger than me, but we became friends. He ran this blog post, sort of funny content, and I was going to help sponsor him. So I did, and he would toss out things that include and tag me and that sort of thing often. Uh-huh. Then one morning I woke up, and my social media on my phone was just going crazy. And I looked, and he was posting all this content from this Fyre Festival. And he tagged me. He said, they will be hearing from Stacey. Well, I had never heard of the Fyre Festival. And so I was like, who is he? He might be
That's
joking.
Funny.
And then the more I read, I was like, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I called him. And he was in the airport in the Bahamas. And as soon as he had said hello, I could tell
it was real.
He was wrecked. Yeah, he was wrecked. And so I was like, hey, man, you okay? He goes, well, he went into the story. Well, I think I'm getting ready to get out. I couldn't end in bed. You know, I haven't gone to sleep in 2 days, haven't anything to eat or drink. I'm pretty sure I'll get ready to get on this flight. And I said, well, call me when you get to Miami. And he did.
Why didn't they cancel it?
So
what is, where's why? I just don't, were they going to lose more? Would they have had to pay people back? Is that the issue?
There were a lot of things. So Billy had a lot of loans due like the week after the festival. So if he cancels the festival and people don't show up, then, you know, he's not going to get a lot of, the income that he was planning on receiving from other investors.
Okay.
So he had like a term sheet from Comcast that I think was either 10 or 25 million, I can't remember, but they were going to invest in the festival. So I think that Billy thought, if I pull this off, it'll at least be like proof of concept. You know, first year got off to a rocky start, but next year, you know, there'll be a Bud Light main stage, you know, like, and we'll show them that it works. But I think he just had to throw it because, you know, it's all part of like this house of cards that he was running.
Do you think Billy's a bad guy or just subject to trying to oversucceed and he's just delusional, or do you think there's some personality
Look,
issues
I mean,
there?
He had this company called Magnesis that my understanding he was
Those the credit cards, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then he goes and puts on this Fyre Festival, that which was impossible from the get-go.
Right.
Right. And then he lures these guys out of their homes, out of their state, out of their country, and dumps them on a desert island. And the sun goes down. That's when it gets really dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So it all blows up. He gets indicted, right? Gets a lawyer.
Right.
He gets out on pretrial release and does it again.
Right.
The emails, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The NYC access, VIP access stuff.
Right. So to get back to your original question, yeah, I think he's a special person. I think it takes a special depraved heart to do something.
I agree with you. I mean, that's definitely where my opinion is. When, like you said, he's done it multiple times, and the fact that he's on, you know, pre-trial bail or whatever it was, and he still had the nerve to be the same way.
Yeah.
Would we just take him out back then, babe? We talked about earlier about just taking people out back and just shoot him.
I mean, he's sort of
a bad
No more
guy.
Prison sentences. Come to my court, man. I'll take care of things.
Michael's court, you just take him out back.
Well, yeah, that's sort of what happens growing up. You take out the woodshed and you learn your lesson.
That's
but,
right.
You know, I've sort of coined him the millennial Madoff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, is what he is.
No question.
And those folks, man, you know, they can go to the... Look at jail. They'll do it again. You got to hurt them where they keep sort of their pride the most, and that's their own pocketbook.
Right. How much longer can you guys discuss the Fyre Festival specifically? Like, what else? Are there other things that you guys are investigating and looking into that this kind of stuff has happened, just not to you?
Yeah, so there are other stories of people that were kind of defrauded in other ways. And so a lot of the things that kind of the documentary just doesn't get a time to go into is, you know, Billy was going after unaccredited investors. So there were, you know, a couple that takes out $200,000, their whole retirement, and invests it with Billy, you know, and like, you don't hear those stories of those people. So there's so many levels to this that are like related to Fyre. They just don't make the headlines because it's not, you know, the supermodels or the beach or anything like that. So there's so many instances of that. And then also just kind of the people that were involved, like what are they up to now? And they're running similar companies, similar structured companies. And you kind of want to say, like, is this a scam too? So there's a lot of kind of threads to follow.
How did he convince? Because like when, you know, when we were watching the Netflix, we didn't see the Hulu one, but the Netflix documentary, how did he convince that many, you know, people who seem successful in their world, whether marketing, advertising, this, that, logistics.
I mean, that one guy was about to suck a D.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know what I mean? To get freaking water.
He convinced these people.
Like, when do you just say no?
Yeah.
Honestly, he's a talented young man.
Clearly.
And every time he went away, he came back with more money. Every time they needed more money, he'd leave and come back with a couple more million. And so everybody just, you know, thought he was going to be able to raise enough. You know, at some point, I think everybody knew that it was.
Right.
Impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like 2 weeks out and there's like nothing going. I mean, it's crazy.
They were trying to, Billy was trying to scam money out of Seth the day before he went over to the island.
Right, with the wristbands that you talked about on the documentary, yeah.
I just feel so bad for the people. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh, just these rich kids that are buying. But there's still people that spent their hard-earned money, saved up probably to be there, and that's just sad.
A lot of people paid like $500 to $1,000 to go. So it really wasn't this crazy thing. Like Mark and I went and, you know, our original ticket was $1,000. And then we thought, all right, we'll do this VIP thing for $2,000 total. And then when we saw all these crazy things getting added, like $25,000 yacht package, I was like, I think maybe we're out of our league here. So what if we just buy this like artist pass and everything will be included? And the artist pass is like $2,700. So I'm like, all right, $4,700. Like that's kind of my limit for this thing. But that's still 4 or 5 nights in the Bahamas, a festival, food, drinks included. I mean, you go to a festival and it's like $20 a beer. So you're, you know, like it's not too outrageous. And that was still kind of the higher end of it. Like our other two friends that went, you know, they paid about $1,000 to go.
What was the first thing that really kind of triggered you to be like, and like kind of really start asking yourself these questions?
Well, that was, so, you know, you'd get emails from them and it would make you scratch your head, but then you'd ask a question and follow up, like the wristbands. They said, put, you know, $500 for every day you're going. And I replied to them and I said, you know, we've got the artist pass, we've got the VIP. What could I possibly need to give you any more money for? And he says, oh, you're good, don't worry. But you know, if you want a plane ride or a boat ride, or I'm like, I'm good, I don't need a plane ride around the island. But you know, that was all part of them trying to raise some money really quickly to pay back some debts that they owed. But
what ever happened to Ja Rule? Did he get under fire for this? Lawyer speaker?
Well, yes.
Speaking?
Rest that question. Yes.
I
met with Ja Rule's lawyer.
Okay.
And we discussed matters.
Okay.
And we came to the agreement that both parties were going to focus on other business matters.
Okay.
In lawyer terms, that means what? Because I don't understand that.
That is the official line.
Okay.
But he's facing some other lawsuits. You know, I think they've consolidated a bunch of civil suits.
Because his name was equally on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we named him on the complaint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you go with Seth anywhere he goes with talking about this stuff to make sure that he stays? Like, I know you guys have a friendship too, but is this also like kind of, you know, doing your job also and making sure that he doesn't say anything?
Sure. And you know, fill the questions that maybe he shouldn't answer and maybe I should answer.
For sure.
And make sure we say things that we're supposed to. Say they not say things we're not supposed to say,
right? Because in this delicate of a situation, I'm sure any kind of defense on Billy's end, they probably, you know, cut into every detail that you say to try to.
Yeah, we have to be careful. So, I mean, a lot of the things that we're hearing from people are, you know, their stories of, well, this is what I experienced with Billy. So I have to say, you know, this is what John Smith says about X, Y, and Z. And I, you know, talking to credible people, I'm like, I know this is a fact. You know, and I believe this person, but I still have to frame it that, you know, this is the story we heard, play this clip, you know, because they're pretty wild stories, you know, like drug dealers on the island and stuff like that. Because
and just like what they said that the tents were going to look like and then showing up like that. Oh, my gosh.
You won the class action suit. What's the timeline on collection with something like that, Stacey?
And how do you get that much for if you didn't put it's just like so you only spent. X with $5,000, but yet you're getting $5 million. So is that just your time and your, did you get PTSD? Like
it's
from the
PTFD. We're trademarking it. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like, from the bad beds. Like.
No, what happened was there was a class action that was already filed.
Okay.
It was filed actually out here in California by Mark Garagos' firm. Mm-hmm. By the time Seth came back and I met with him in Raleigh, there was a lawsuit was already filed. So we had to decide whether we wanted to participate in that class action or do we want to bring our own individual action. And so I quickly determined that the person who got a verdict first, crossed the finish line first, was going to be in the best position to collect. Mm-hmm. So we opted not to participate in the class action. We filed our own individual case. We got a verdict against Billy for $5 million. That's both for Mr. Crosno and Mr. Thompson. I get asked that question a lot, Jenna, that, well, you know, you guys only spent a couple thousand dollars. How'd you wind up with, you know,
five million?
And the answer to that is this. In North Carolina, when you've been defrauded, the court or the remedy is you make the person whole. And the second half of that is you make sure this individual doesn't do it again. So we sued for punitive damages.
Gotcha.
And so it was to punish Billy, you know, one. Secondly, it was to send a message to every other person out there that's trying to, you know, separate consumers from their cash.
Right.
You better do it lawfully in this state. If not, you're going to get tattooed.
But, like, will he actually get that money?
Yes, we believe we're going to be able to satisfy that judgment. I can't tell you exactly the specifics of that because there's a lot of people circling right now. So, yeah.
Right.
So, yes.
But I'm curious, like, how you get money out of someone that has no money. I've always wondered that.
Well, we believe he does.
Where? From how? Like, there's no investors giving. He's living in his, or now he's in jail. But, I mean, before that, I mean, he lost his penthouse. He lost everything. So, I don't understand. All of his investors are surely not giving him money.
Correct.
So, where is it? In Switzerland?
I would like to tell you, but I can't.
God, you're so annoying. I want to know the answers.
But I mean, any assets that he had, you know, that you can file liens on properties and things like that. Like, even
you
if
think
he had
he really owned his Maserati?
No. But I mean, if he has any income, if he has a trust that his parents left, if he has, you know, stuff like that. So, but there's also, you know, we believe there are, you know, things not in the United States, you know, being held offshore,
you know, that's
possibly.
An answer. So, I like that.
And with a guy like Billy, I mean that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
you would think someone like that, he's got
yeah, when you have a private pilot that can fly you down to the Bahamas and you've got bags of cash,
you got something
kind of easy to,
like, come,
you know,
on
from what we've heard, put things places. So
do you guys want to have your own documentary kind of spin off from your podcast? Maybe
we've talked about it. So.
Funny, he owns the Fire Festival trademark.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. So we were kind of keeping that under wraps, but
but thanks for
not anymore.
Thanks for the exclusive.
Yeah. So I came back and in creating the podcast name, I'm pretty risk averse, so I call Stacy and I said, I don't want to infringe on the Fire trademark. And his sister-in-law happens to be an IP attorney. Connects me with her. She's looking through and she says, no, you can call yours Dumpster Fire Podcast. And she said, well, Fire Festival is actually going to expire in about a couple months. And I was like, well, what if I just bought it? Like, and she's like, yeah, you can do that. And so I was like, I can say I own Fire Festival, like, quote unquote. And she was like, yeah, you can do that. And so I thought it'd be hilarious on the podcast. Like, the B storyline is, could I throw a Fire Festival, you know?
Could you get sued, though? Could people sue you? Because now you, I mean, from like a lawyer standpoint, like, is that really smart to own that? Because people could go after him or
well, it's
no?
An opportunity for sure. But I don't think he is not going to set himself up for any liability of what's happened in the past.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Happy
that. Stacy, is this kind of taking over your practice, your law practice right now? Is just kind of working with Seth and kind of figuring all this stuff out?
Well, we've certainly been very busy. But, I mean, I got to tell you, I see these fraud cases, you know, every day, sort of what I do, right? Not every fraud case involves supermodels in the Bahamas.
Right.
That's
did they get paid?
Yeah.
They did.
Some of them did. But it has been busy. But this has, you know, this is, in essence, what we see all the time. Somebody making a material misrepresentation to lure somebody to purchase something. They rely on those misrepresentations and they're damaged, right? We see this in essence a lot. And with the internet out today, it's, you know, a plethora of schemes to defraud consumers.
Wow.
Do you feel bad at all for capitalizing on the whole Fyre Festival thing, or is it more like opportunistic? Like you're just kind of for yourself and, you know, taking advantage of the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one of our goals is to raise awareness for the people in the Bahamas. So we kind of put that on the forefront on all of our, like on the website, and we, you know, encouraging people to donate. And if we ever, you know, once I guess that the monies from the lawsuit come in, you know, we'd be glad to donate a portion of that to the Bahamas and the people there, because the good thing that the Netflix film did was raise awareness to Mary Ann and the people down there.
Yeah.
I think her GoFundMe was set at 123,000, and the last time I checked, it reached about 230,000.
Wow, that's fantastic. Amazing.
So she's helping, because then there's a second GoFundMe with a goal of 400,000 for the other workers, and so she's giving her extra to that GoFundMe, because, you know, the media runs with that one, and then, you know, the next one didn't pop up till like a week or two later. So and then, you know, if we are able to actually put on a Fyre Festival, we absolutely give a portion back, you know, to the Bahamas, and we wouldn't hold it in the Bahamas. We'd do it somewhere where, you know, you're not going to leave people stranded.
Would you ever take over kind of that concept and that responsibility to
hire the right people, because I don't know how to throw a music festival, you know? Right. So yeah. Like, I'm not,
it'd be pretty epic
enough
though
to try.
If it actually happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic if you were the one to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goal with the trademark. It was bought kind of tongue in cheek, but I thought, well, or applied for tongue in cheek. And so we're still through that, going through that process, but if it happens, stay tuned.
Well, I love it. Well, Seth and Stacey, you can listen to their podcast, the Dumpster Fyre Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. So thank you guys so much for coming in. Very interesting.
Yeah, thank you guys, fellas. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
That was fascinating.
Yeah. There's so much.
I just think it's, I don't know, the owning the fire thing is interesting to me.
It seems like it would make him a target.
Yeah.
For people trying to make some
and
money.
And like,
why
would you want to redo that?
Yeah.
Disaster.
Right.
I actually think it's ironic. I actually kind of like that part.
Are the Roloffs here?
They are, as a matter of fact.
Bring them in.
Welcome in studio, Jeremy and Audrey Roloff.
Oh, wow. Woo-hoo!
Yay.
Pleasure to be here.
Did I say Jeremy again? No.
That's how she says Jeremy.
I have a very hard time saying Jeremy. It's okay.
I feel like a lot of people call him Jer.
Yeah, people spell Jeremy. My name with a G all the time, so.
That's weird. So weird. That's a little weird.
Yeah. You guys have a book out. You're on your book tour now, A Love Letter Life.
Yes.
It's so good. It's honestly so inspiring.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Even Michael was reading it and he was just like,
Come on, it's for the guys too.
Yeah, it's not an even thing.
No, I will say you're totally right, but I will say this is what Michael does. He'll be like, I can't wait to read this book, and he never opens it. So when I say even, is because he actually opened the book.
I've got.
Do you read? Are you a reader?
I've never been a reader, and now I'm trying to.
Yeah.
And it's just thing is, only time to do it is like at night, and then I get 5 words in, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a little bit of a trigger at times because he's like, I got a book. It says, you know, How to Be an Adult. That's one book he wants to read. And I'm like, well, baby, you actually have to open the book.
Yeah.
I'm more of if I just sit on my nightstand, the words will start. When I sleep, it just kind of reads itself to me. Yeah.
There we go. That gets into the whole discussion of like, is audiobooking really reading?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Some people think,
The ingestion of listening is obviously way different than like actually reading. Yeah. And so I'm on the fence of like, I don't know if you can say I read a book if you listened to it.
I agree with that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even for someone who doesn't
read. But I love audiobooking. It's one of my favorite things.
See, I just...
Is it like listening to a podcast? I've never done an audiobook.
Yeah, like you wouldn't say like I read a podcast, would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
But it depends. Audiobooks though can be, it depends on the person doing it. Like it depends on the voice of the person reading the book. Because sometimes it can be so boring.
Yeah,
like the
it's voice true. Sometimes like they read you to
monotone.
Sleep. You're like,
yeah,
oh.
It has to be. The most fun ones are the people that act. Like we got to read our own audiobook.
Which
was
so
fun.
Yeah.
So it's like our voices
That's
reading
cool.
the book.
It was
yeah.
awesome.
I can only read from first person. Like I have a hard time reading if it says, she said, and this person said.
Yeah.
It has to be from the reader. So like Emily Giffen's one of my favorite authors. I love her to death. But she writes always in that first person. So,
interesting.
It's like when we read Jolie, our daughter, our 3-year-old books, and it's always dialogue. And it's like every other sentence, he said, they exclaim, but and it's just like, it's tiring to read.
Yes.
Every sentence you have to read that, you know, reaction.
If I do voices in there, I don't have to say that he said and she
said. I've started doing the same thing.
Voices, you can skip those lines.
But when she starts to learn how to read, she's like, wait, you're missing. And I'm like, I don't care.
We skip a lot.
Yeah.
No.
A lot of pages.
You skip a lot.
Or make it up.
I actually don't anymore.
You don't anymore?
No.
Really?
I read her every word.
Lies.
Boom.
Wow. You guys, how old's your daughter?
So diligent.
19 months. Yeah.
19 months.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Are we going for baby two?
Yeah.
Definitely we want to have more kids,
I'm ready to have another baby. I don't want them to be too far apart. I'm like, they got to be friends. Like, I don't want one to be a senior in high school looking at their freshman sister, you know? Like,
how it was with me.
Really? Yeah.
Really?
But my brother, he wouldn't even let me like ride in his car on the way to school. Because he didn't want to be associated with me.
See, that is...
What?
Yeah.
It was so sad.
That's
I know.
Sad.
Your only brother or only sibling?
Well, no. I technically have two half-sisters.
Okay.
But they're super young.
Yeah.
But my older brother. But yeah, he would never let me ride in his car. And if I did, I had to sit in the back. Like, I could not be associated with him.
Oh, my God.
That's where, like, being a twin was so fun.
Yeah.
We were a really good friend. Default friend.
Really?
You had no choice.
Yeah, we had no choice.
He was just there always, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we rode together every day, you know, unless we were doing something different after school. But
so I love that kind of twin dynamic where it's like you guys embrace it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're just like, you love each other for it.
Because some don't, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Some just have that kind of independency issue where it's just like, I'm me, he's that, you know.
Yep, yep.
You don't want to be affiliated with each other.
Can I just ask on your family side first?
Yeah.
Just... Does dwarfism run genetically? I don't know how that, because both of your parents are dwarfs, right?
Jenna, what a nightmare question.
I'm sorry. I'm like, you did film a TV show, so no, I'm like, I have to like ask about
kind of
it.
Interesting.
I'm totally kidding. It's actually really weird.
Okay.
Like, you guys are just as likely to have a little person as I am.
Really?
For us, because we don't, because it's a dominant gene.
Well, even that sort gets... It's kind of confusing, but yeah, it's a dominant gene for the most part. But you know, the whole gene pool, like, I feel like so many people still don't know what's going on in that realm.
Oh, yeah.
I just know that Mike's left eye has the same left eye as Jace. So genes are like insane. Right eye. Oh, right eye. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
But I mean, genes are just like nuts.
Yeah, they're crazy. And so, like, Audrey's and my possibility of having a little person would be same as your guys's. At the end of the day, if you broke it down, which is an interesting thing, because you wouldn't think so, you know, but.
Is your brother normal size? I guess, how do I say that?
Yeah, so my twin is a little person.
Oh,
which is like the weird part about it. And then we have two, I've got a younger sister and then a younger brother. We're all 3 years apart. So Zach and I, twins, 29, sister, and then younger brother, all 3 years apart. And it's what's really weird is like I'm perfectly healthy, average height person, and Zach's actually a really healthy, very healthy achondroplasia dwarf. So it's kind of funny how that all worked out.
What kind of achon?
We call him achon, but achondroplasia, yeah.
What does that
mean? Like several hundred types of dwarfism out there.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so like there's different types of achons, there's hypoachons, there's, you know, it gets crazy. There's a whole LPA, Little People of America, there's a whole organization where people meet every year. And anyways, this is a whole rabbit trail, but like it gets really crazy. There's like a
Kids so mean to you about your family? Know,
yeah, I would say there were definitely, times where it got a little intense. Like even in the height of like filming, like TV years.
Because you filmed it for how many years?
Oh boy, this is our
People, Big World.
Yeah, this is our 16th year.
Wow.
Yeah, but we're not. Audrey and I were done.
Yeah,
so we stepped away 2 years ago to write books and just pursue some other passions.
Was it just too hard as a married couple?
You know, it just. Have you done anything for 15 years? Mm-hmm. It just gets to the point where you're like, I'm ready to go do something else, you know? And then and then I married Audrey, really. And it's like, whoa, we got some passion here. So let's go do something with the tools we feel like we've been given. Let's go exercise some of this via different avenues than necessarily, you know, the reality television show I grew up on. Plus, it just got to a point, to your point, Jenna, where it's like, it got hard. It was a little hard, you know?
How did the show, you guys being on the show and when Audrey came in the picture, like affect your dating life and... You know, in a positive, but then also a negative.
That's a good question. Well, one cool thing about our book is like we kind of tell the story that was never told, you know, because they filmed our wedding. It was like 2.4, 2.3 million people watched it.
That's cool.
But nobody followed our courtship and our dating and that whole
because
process.
Because we did long distance.
Yeah.
Our entire dating relationship. So it was like they literally couldn't film it. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy was kind of not really on the show as much at the time.
Yeah,
just because
I was in
school
Santa Barbara.
I was at school.
How did you guys meet?
So
blind date.
Oh, that's right.
Set up by friends though. It wasn't just like random blind date.
Yeah, we had friends.
We both trusted our friends that were dating.
Did you watch the show? Like, did you know?
I'd never seen the show, but I knew of the show because everyone in Oregon knew of the Pumpkin Patch. So the Pumpkin Patch was like a thing before the show. It was like their family had this Pumpkin Patch that everyone went to every weekend in October. It was a huge thing. And then, so I knew of that, but I didn't know of TV show.
Yeah, and then our friends basically begged us. They're like, you guys have got to meet. And so we're like, okay, so we did. Yeah.
Did you know from the get-go?
No. Like
really?
Yeah. Well,
you need to read the book.
I know. I need to read the book. Well, our listeners haven't.
You better get reading.
Our listeners need to. That's sitting. That's the next one in my lineup. So I'm hoping the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Works.
What's the first in your lineup?
How to be an adult in a relationship.
Okay. There you go. They seem like compatible books.
It's in my queue.
What do you want people to. What's the takeaway for y'all's book?
Yeah, so it would be a success, and we're already seeing kind of some of this response come in, which is
we follow each other on Instagram socials, and I love just seeing everyone's comments.
It's been so special, but we would want people to put down the book and feel absolutely ignited, not just ignited, but equipped and inspired to write their own love letter life, to go out and pursue a love story that they would actually want read back to them one day. So we believe we're all writing our love story, and at the end of our life, we're all going to have our life song, if you will, sung back to us, and we hope you like what you hear. Mm-hmm. In the same way, we want to live the story every single day and ignite people to do that, so that when they do get to the end of their life, they have a story that they want to read, that they would want read back to them. So that's mm-hmm.
That's
our hope for what the book does to people. And I guess the reason is because we believe relationships and the marriage relationship specifically is just so powerful. Mm-hmm. So like, why aren't we pressing into them?
How do you guys handle adversity or issues within your marriage? Because again, I mean, your book, the stuff that I have read in it and just talking to you guys on your podcast and everything, you guys are so in love. You guys are so affectionate and everything. But when it comes to those hard times, mm-hmm. how do you guys handle those and kind of what comes up?
Yeah.
Babe, you want
to? Oh, yeah, give me the hard one.
She's like,
yeah,
we don't.
Of course. No. You get to say the lovey amazing thing about our book, babe.
Drag her through this one, yeah.
No, I mean, that is something that we do talk about a lot in the book, because we didn't want to be, you know, the world doesn't need another highlight reel, right? So we wanted to share like the struggles, the reality of the messy stuff of our relationship in the book. So we talk a lot about, there's a chapter called The Code of Conflict, and we talk a lot about just how we handle conflict in our relationship and how we try to view conflict as an opportunity for learning more about each other. And that doesn't always necessarily work out. But we've kind of set ourselves these boundaries for when we do fight, how to do it in a fair way. And so
fighting fair is huge.
And I feel like we also
are kind of non-negotiables for conflict. Like when conflict does arise, it's inevitable, but how do we prevent conflict from turning into fighting? Mm-hmm. How do we keep it in like a conflict to resolve mode, as opposed to conflict to fighting?
Because ultimately, like, what's the goal? What's the point? Like, we believe, you know, the point of marriage isn't just marriage itself, right? Because if the point of marriage was marriage, then the ultimate goal would probably be happiness or something. But we think happiness is actually a byproduct of how you would treat your marriage or approach conflict and whatnot. So I think the perspective of like, okay, we're on a mission together. We got goals. Mm-hmm. We've got an agenda. We've got a framework to achieve this. It's so funny. Every single successful business, sports team, organization, you name it, on the planet, what do they all have? They all have a mission statement. Mm-hmm. They all have goals. They all have a strategy for success.
They all have yearly summits.
Yearly summits.
But why don't we ever do that with our marriages? Like, they're designing success in their, you know, every other organization does that, but we don't do that with our marriages. Why aren't we as intentional?
It's like we get married and then we throw everything up in the air. We go, well, I hope this one works out.
Let's just let it be spontaneous and like organic.
But I'm going to train really hard and put diet restrictions and everything for my half marathon.
Right.
It's like, what are we doing? It's like, of course, things are failing left and right because we're literally planning for failure.
Yeah.
So that being said, going back to your question of like, you know, handling conflict and stuff, I think we just have a fun perspective of like, okay, we're on mission here. So how do we plan for success? Because there's going to be conflict, of course. You can't get rid of it. Like literally, there's always going to be conflict because I'm going to be a different me next year.
Oh, no question.
And she's going to have to deal with a different me conflict.
I think what you guys said is great is, you know, what's the ultimate goal of whatever it is, you guys, whatever the conflict is. And I think that's where, at least in the infancy, when Jan and I kind of look back, we realize we were in the infancy of, we were just trying to be right. Well, that's not the purpose, really.
No, I think we wanted to be heard.
We
didn't know how to hear each other.
Ultimately, we wanted to be heard, but we did it by trying to win.
Yeah, right.
You know, no, hear me. It's like, I'm not.
And it's like, if we felt like we won, then we felt like we were heard. But really, that's not the same thing at all.
That is a very awesome statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then our voices just kept getting higher and higher. Because we're both like, well, we're both getting, and that's what our therapist always
says.
There's
a quote I love. Can I say it? It's the volume of your voice does not determine the validity of your argument.
But it feels like it's so much.
Not for Jeremy, though. Jeremy's voice.
I'm a nine, so I'm like, I never raise my voice.
He's like total peacemaker.
Oh, really?
He's like the passive aggressive in the argument. You know, he's just like, disappear, gone.
I see you, boo.
There's no, yeah, it's just, I'm like, wait, where's the intensity? You're going to match me back, right?
Right.
Like,
what are you, Mike?
I'm the intensity and Jan is the passive aggressive. So okay. Even I'll get animated and I'll be like, you know, what's going on? And Jan will be like, well, you're getting heightened. I'm like, no, I'm just animated.
That's me.
Like,
I'm just kind of like,
no, I'm talking about this.
I'm not being mean. You don't need to be so heightened.
Right. Just because I get animated, she says I'm being mean. I'm so, like, I actually haven't said anything mean.
I don't know about you, Jenna, but sometimes I've got to like check my spirit because sometimes we'll get into what Emerson Eggerich calls heated fellowship. What does he call it?
Yeah.
Heated fellowship. And like Audra will get all animated and get all crazy. And I'll just go, babe, you need to calm down. Right.
Oh, that would
I know. It's even saying it is kind of crazy, but it's, and I got to check my spirit because sometimes it'll like flare her up, you know, but sometimes it'll be like, actually that always flares you up. If I say it like that audaciously, you know, like you need to calm down. But we do have those moments of like me trying to match her intensity or should I like try to calm her down? And likewise, me not being passive aggressive, sometimes Audrey needs to tell me like, hey, do you care? Like engage with this. Right. Like, don't just walk away from it.
Is there anything there?
Yeah, it's, man, emotion, dealing with that stuff. That's where the Enneagrams.
Marriage is so fun.
That's where the Enneagram's been so helpful for us.
Do you guys know, do you guys do Enneagram? Or do you know it?
We did, but we forgot.
What was it?
Yeah.
It's like the numbers, right?
Yeah,
it's the numbers.
We had a span of like, psychics and healers and everyone come in like that week and there was just
do it all.
It like, was just, it was a lot. And so I think I need to listen back to the podcast because we did have an Enneagram person, guy.
Yeah. Enneagram.
Enneagram.
Again,
yeah,
it all with so many in a small window. It was just kind of in one or the other at some point.
Blurry. But what does it tell you again?
So, remind us.
Basically, like not to get all into the Enneagram train because it's such a tangent, but it's essentially a...
self-discovery for self-growth tool. Yeah. So it teaches you more about yourself and it shows you like the box you're in and teaches you how to get out of it.
It's
not an excuse for you to like stay the way you are. It's teaching you how you are the way you are, why you are the way you are, what motivates you to be that way so that you can change and grow. And it's so good for marriage.
It's been probably one of the most helpful tools like we've ever discovered. So
well, then maybe we should go back to that.
Yeah,
babe.
You should.
There's
a book on it.
It's like a more...
Good luck.
I mean, I'll add that to my queue too, but that's at the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were ever to write a book, would you actually read our own book, babe? We'd be like, no, because I wrote it.
Yeah, I read it while I was typing it.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but that's kind of like a more introspective way of learning yourself compared to like introspective way of learning yourself compared to like love languages. Yeah. Like, love languages is learning yourself, but this is like a deeper dive into...
I think it's that one's more for learning about the other person, love languages. So I think we always know our love language. It's about learning what the other person's is.
Yeah, but you don't really know your love language until you know. Like until you
I've always known mine.
Know what it is on paper. Like I wouldn't have known how to articulate my love language.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like Jared's the same way.
I would say so too.
If I never heard about him, I'd have been like,
I didn't know mine, I think, until I actually started meeting that need. And actually, we tell the story in the book when I first recognized it. Remember with the words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm. So what's next? They got the Love Letter Life Now. What's the sequel? Has the book tour just been crazy?
It's been so fun.
It has been really fun. It's so cool to get to do this together because it would have been one thing. Like a lot of people write books, but then the fact that we get to write a book that's actually our story and then experience it all together and go on this tour together is just so fun.
It's pretty fun.
There's more books in the works. But
yeah, more books. The podcast is fun. We're kind of trying to like...
soak this one in.
Which we were also on your podcast.
Yes.
So that was really fun. We appreciate y'all having us on.
Yeah, that was a great one.
That was a great time.
Super fun.
Don't know when we're going to put that one out, but
we just planned it.
We just planned it before literally.
We're like rearranging all the schedules.
No, as
we've been gone, so we're like, we're plug and play.
With all the time together and the book tour and the podcasting and everything that you guys do together, what do you do for yourselves?
Yeah, that's good. Dude, we're trying to get back to that, man. Like I feel like we went through a season of, having like this, the book really is kind of an overflow of a passion we have for like pursuing a healthy relationship and whatnot, and just bringing our generation people along our journey with us as we learn and grow. But alongside of the book, and like our care for relationships, we started quite a few projects. And I think right now we're realizing like, this isn't like, there's more to life than work. We just like working together. We love it. And we're always starting something and we lay in bed like till 1 a.m. just talking about the next project.
Oh, I love that.
We love that. Really
cool. We just always need the next
project. To your point, it's coming at a cost. And like recently we've realized like, wow, I really liked bike riding at once upon a time. Like maybe I should start bike riding every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been our personal, I think, conviction. Just as we finished the book up and it's been so beautiful and awesome and fun. But now we're realizing like, okay, after this, going back to your question, Jana, it's like, let's like, what's next? Like, we're probably going to try to calm down for a second, like all summer, you know, just like, okay, that was amazing. Let's kind of keep some stuff going, rejuvenate, refill, refuel. So,
and tend to sort of some of the things that we've let be on the back burner and in maintenance mode for a while, because our other things that we have got going on, we just kind of, we just got to wait because we got to work on this big project.
And that's okay. There's seasons for everything.
So
I agree. And I think there are seasons for, I mean, I know Mike needs more of his time, but you know, he's like, well, don't you want to go and, you know, go for a hike or do this? I'm like, yeah, but when? Tell me, like, in our day right now, we have so much going on with the two kids. I mean, it's, I'm like, yes, would I love to go with the girls to the spa for 3 hours? I would love that. Yeah. But I also have a list of things I have to do that I honestly won't even finish, like, in the day. Yeah.
Right, it'll just pile on the next day.
I know.
What is that? Like,
it's the season we're in right now. Is we have a lot of projects right now. The season that we're in, and then hopefully next season.
What is the season that we don't?
This sounds like our bedtime conversation. This is our pillow talk. Jared, Audge, when is the season going to end? We can't just keep launching new things every month. We can't just keep releasing.
Yeah. Maybe in the winter time.
Is Audrey more of like the train that keeps it going? That like is always.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's definitely. That's how. And then I just want to like sometimes step in and just go like, no, I'm going to go for a walk. Oh, but Jared, I'm like, oh, I don't care. Like, let it all hit the wall. You know. And I'll be back in 10 minutes or an hour.
We are trying to create a brand. And we're trying to make a circle. Oh my God. Very hard.
Jana, last night, we're in bed about to go to bed. And she's like, asked me a question about later this month about a traveling plan. If we're going to do it, I'm just kind of like, can we talk about tomorrow?
No.
And she's just it just like messed her up. She's
This is so.
To me, everything is urgent. It's urgent.
That's what she is.
Jeremy, nothing is urgent. Oh, no, and also, there's no such thing as a crisis. There's no such thing as an emergency. Like, I tell this story all the time.
Just gonna interrupt my piece.
We got a motorcycle accident. Did we tell you guys this?
What?
No. Okay. This is
a
while
ago. He wants a motorcycle. Okay. And
also, another tangent. When we lived in LA, we drove on this tiny little motorcycle around. Splitting traffic,
dude. I'm looking.
What?
I don't know. Out of your mind?
We were
like flip flops and a
dress. We were out of our mind
on this motorcycle when we lived here.
We're like,
on
we're on a reality show.
The stupidest decision. We got in a motorcycle accident and I flew off. Jared kind of like spun off into the ditch. We were fine. A car hit us and we just like spun off in the ditch.
We were going bushes. four miles an hour. I didn't even want to classify it as an accident. Like it was
Jeremy lifts up the fire engines come, all this stuff. The lady's freaking out. She thinks we're gonna like sue her, you know, like all this stuff. Jeremy lifts up the bike and he's like, babe, the bike's fine. Do you want to still go to breakfast?
Shut
like that is the epitome
we can still
of Jeremy.
Make breakfast.
Nothing is ever wrong.
That's guys in general.
Right, but it's just the thing is like, Jana will be coming to me this week about a lot of stuff. We have a lot of moving parts.
Well, nanny quit. Our house. We're moving. Oh, no. There's movers. And, we got school. We got the kids stuff. We have to schedule. We have to move her ballet to Nashville.
We're talking about it. And Jana, like on the phone or in person, and she just starts like, okay, I need to call this person to do this. I'm like, honey. Let's just give it a second. She's like, no, I got to call them right now. I got to make this decision right now. We have to do this. I'm like, let's just look at all the variables.
There's no other variables. And guess what? There was another variable. So, I was right. Let's just go. Let's get the train moving.
Here's what's so funny about this.
What do you mean?
I think
waiting?
Because I think this is the balance that makes it work, right? Because if two people are that high strung, it's not going to work. If two people are that laid back, it's not going to work.
It's true.
Yes.
And I would have gotten it done 10 minutes before you told me to wait.
There's a million things and everything's going crazy and I'm so stressed out. And his thing is, look, everything's going to be fine. And you're both right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a different perspective on the same situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's where like I think that collides. And this is, again, kind of we interviewed Chris Huertz, who wrote Sacred Enneagram. And he brought this perspective to us, which I thought was awesome. And that is what we used to battle out. We now accept as the gift that the other brings to the conversation. So like without Audrey, I would probably not.
Sloth mode.
I would tend to do way less, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But without me, Audrey would be way, way unhealthy and still having anxiety attacks
all the time.
Lose her hair. So it's like we bring a gift to each other. And once we start to accept that and then wrestle in the tension of that, right? That's when I think true health is kind of realized. And for us, obviously, we're still in the process, very much so. But that was a very awesome perspective shift. Like that I had was like, wow, her intensity, like, babe, bring it. Let's go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she on the turn side mm-hmm. goes, thank you for calming me down. Like, yeah, let's go do something this weekend. I think there's a balance there. And obviously it's 100% hinges on healthy communication to mm-hmm. find it. But yeah.
Do you agree with this?
I agree with the one side, but I don't agree with the other side because I still think, I still think that certain things like you would never think about, we have to move, you know, across country and there's all these different variables that have to line up in place for these things to happen. So I think the timing of things is very important because if not, then we would have lost out on more, we would have spent more money and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
That's true.
And
timing, just, timing is key.
Right. And,
yeah.
And I understand that, but I think, you know, Jeremy hit it on the head. That's exactly how we are. I think it is a gift mm-hmm. because if I matched your energy, we'd be constantly in panic and anxiety. Mm. I bring us down. Just let me just give a small example, and this isn't to put Jane yeah. on blast or anything like that. It's not a terrible thing, but we had an issue with our nanny.
She quit.
That's an issue.
We have so many trips coming up. We're like, go ahead. All right.
She can't even let the sloth talk.
Yeah.
She's like 10 conversations ahead of me.
Yeah.
No, that's not even the one I was going to talk about. Okay. We needed our nanny for some dates later in May. She responded saying that I told Jana back in January that I needed these dates X, Y, and Z off because mm-hmm. I had family obligations and so on. She ended up screenshotting me the text. Before I ever got any of that, Jana was like, she did not tell me. No, no, no. And where I wanted to go, Jamie, I wanted to say, well, can you look? Just make sure. Because I'm like, I'm the messenger, right? I'm the messenger between our contractor, our nanny.
Yep.
I'm that guy. And just Jana has her hand inside of me and just like using my mouth as a puppet. So I'm just saying what she said. So Jana's like, yo, respond right now. Tell her right now that, you know, this is unacceptable and so on and so forth. Just my personality, I wanted to be like, let's just make sure. But I didn't say it. I just said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of gave, you know, threw in my towel. I was like, all right, fine. I said it. Come back. Our nanny sends me the screenshot of her telling Jana that she needed those days off. And Jana's saying, okay, no problem. Exclamation point. Smiley face. It's all good. And I had to sit there and be the bad guy.
It was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
Regardless, she needs to work.
But you didn't put it on the, but you didn't put it on the calendar.
Your nanny quit and you're moving, but was she gonna move with you?
We hadn't really figured it out yet. I don't think she would have because I think there was a lot
you
of
need
things
like
happening.
A temp nanny until you move.
So that's been very stressful. But I actually did use care.com and we have someone that we hired for off there. Oh. So So I think there was just some issues already that we were getting frustrated with. Mm-hmm. But it's gonna be good for the next situation because
I just don't think certain things have to be that stressful.
I wasn't stressed.
No, I'm just saying, just decisions and stuff like that. Like we can make the decisions
it's not that big of a deal.
We can make the decisions in the same timely manner.
You're right, honey.
With this kind of demeanor.
You're right, sweetheart.
As opposed to, we gotta do it right now. We have 10 million things.
High blood pressure.
Calm down,
dude.
You're so lucky to have
you guys. Both bring a gift.
You're so lucky, honey.
Thank you. You guys are a gift though, and your love letter life is beautiful. Where else can our fans follow you?
Yeah, so pretty much to find all the irons we have in the fire, you can just go to theroloffs.com. That's
love it.
Yeah, ROLOFF. One L, two Fs. That's the other big misspelling everyone does.
Jeremy with a J.
Jeremy with a J.
Jeremy. Yeah,
yeah. Audrey with an E. Where are our names on social media?
Yep.
Instagram.
We're big on Instagram. Jeremy Roloff.
You can get their
Roloff
book, A Love Letter Life. You can get it anywhere. It's amazing. And guys, thank you. I love you guys. Can we please hang out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please. Yeah. And come to Oregon.
De-stress.
Come to Oregon.
Okay. I love it.
Have you heard about the revolution in online furniture shopping or Joybird, the company behind it all? Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original, which is exactly what Jana and I are trying to do right now for our new house in Nashville. And with Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. They can turn any of the ideas that Jana and I have for our new house into reality with hundreds of styles and options. There's even a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options available, which we know we're going to need with two kids and two dogs. To help us along with that, they have free personal design consultants to help nail down our perfect design. There's a 365-day home trial with any Joybird piece. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home to you. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return for a full refund. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Jana. Go to joybird.com/Jana and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Jana.
I love the roll-offs. They're so sweet.
They're like our counterpart.
They're like our counterpart. That was cute how you said that.
They're fantastic.
I really like them a lot. I know this is kind of getting a long show, but can we just do one email, Mark?
I mean, we got some really interesting ones, but this one I found particularly intriguing from Mandy.
Oh, I've been with I know you're going to pick that one?
What, really? Do you not want it?
No, you can.
Mandy says, I've been with my boyfriend for almost 4 years. We are looking to get engaged this year. We don't really have a sex life, and that's mainly his choice. We're a very PDA and affectionate couple. I feel 100% loved by him in every other way with no doubts. Backstory. He and his ex chose to have an abortion when they were together, and he won't forgive himself for it. I think it's really messed him up. He says he finds me attractive. He says when we get married, it won't be like this. And I don't know what to believe. I feel like I've tried everything. I can't get him to open up. And if I try too much, he gets very shy and closes up.
Oh.
Hmm.
I mean, there's no question in there, but I mean, not having sex for 4 years.
I don't see how, just in my personal opinion, I don't see how when they get married,
it's gonna change.
It'll change. I think people set too many expectations when it's, oh, when we get married, this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I thought that. I thought that about myself and issues that I dealt with. And, you know, when I get married, I'll never cheat.
Right.
When I get married.
Yeah. Joke's on you, kid.
Oh, how far we've come. You know, when I get married, I won't have issues with.
When
whatever.
I get married, I won't be passive aggressive.
Yeah, I just feel like people think that's a fixer and it's nothing's going to change.
Yeah, Mandy. I mean, did she say he's doing therapy?
No, but boy, he's crying out for it. She doesn't mention it, but I hope he is.
I know. I would just say I would be cautious to marry. I think he needs to do some work on himself in therapy because, I mean, I can understand how he's beating himself up. And if he's really worried about having another baby and that happening, you know, are you maybe get on the pill to make him more comfortable?
I think it's kind of something we've touched on earlier in this podcast, not today, but in previous episodes, how he's now married the concept of sex mm-hmm. with this incredible crushing guilt he's dealing with.
Right.
And one directly led to the other, and they're just all in one big ball. And that's why he needs the therapy, is to sort those things out and separate those, untangle
great
those.
Point.
Yeah, if he can. That's a great point. He hasn't been able to, in a healthy way, compartmentalize
right.
those aspects of the relationship and what marriage entails. And
yeah, that's a great point. So give him a chance, but I would very highly suggest having him go to therapy and working through that, because that's going to be a tough one.
Brutal.
And the longer it goes, the worse I think it'll be too.
Yeah, don't wait till you're married to try to work on that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Some argue against having couples therapy before you get married.
Oh, man.
But this is a situation that really calls out for it.
Oh, I say you should always have couples therapy.
If people didn't believe in therapy before marriage, then they're just kind of being naive. And it's like they almost don't want to know the problems they have
mm-hmm.
because they just want to have that dream of being married to that person. So they don't want to figure out any issues.
Right. You shouldn't have problems. You've only been together a few years. Everything right. should be fine.
Everything should be easy. But again, that's a common misconception.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've learned a lot this episode about fire and the roll-offs and, you know, Laura Loughlin and them going to prison.
Stay tuned.
And how about Mike just wants to take them out back. So stay tuned,
style,
guys.
Baby.
Stay tuned to see who's around next week. Wind down next time. Woohoo!
All right, we gotta go back.
Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on etoan.com using code JANA. That's code JANA. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable, from sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. When headed to the beach, I want to make sure my kids are protected, so I never leave home without Banana Boat 360 Mist. Shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon. You know, I don't even know where to start with this, because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.